is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses. I can't even talk tonight. With your rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Nick?
Mm-hmm. It's working for me, man.
Is it working?
I'm feeling good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Worms.
Yeah. Worms. Yeah. So who is everybody and how do you feel about things?
I don't know where to start.
Go ahead.
Just I really don't.
Give me a rundown.
I think I need a break from humanity for a while. Is that even possible? I don't know.
No.
I need it though.
It's not possible.
Go to an island somewhere by myself for a week or two, maybe. Maybe that'll do it. I don't know. Just election season, people arguing over silly statism anthems.
And gross. Just,
yeah. Just over it. How about you guys?
I'm doing all right. It's been busy stuff. I spent over 8 hours underneath my Jeep. And
wow.
I barely made any progress, so I kind of hate Chrysler the worst. Other than that, I'm hunting coyotes tonight, and I'm excited.
Lisa needs to learn to block people. We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, I'm working on it. It's happening more. Like I said, I blocked somebody for criticizing Neil Diamond the other day. So you know,
I said that's as good of a reason as any to block somebody. I think that I would guess probably 300 people on block on Facebook, probably 20 people on block on Twitter, and probably 20 people blocked on email. And it's kind of interesting too, the differences between those classes of people, because the people that I've blocked on Facebook, I largely have no idea who they are. They're just people that wanted to argue. I didn't know them. I may have added them as a friend because Face Beef told me to, or they added me as a friend and I was like, why not? You know, I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. But as soon as someone, you know, I don't really care that my inclusion for blocking has nothing to do with personal politics or belief in whatever higher power or anything. Like, I consider myself a, you know, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, deist. And I have blocked people who are anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, deists, and I still have friends in real life and on Facebook who are straight up like self-avowed socialists. It basically comes down to, are you a dick or not? You know,
yes.
If you're a dick, I'm going to block you. If you are like, if you resort to ad hominems in an argument immediately, I'm going to block you. Now, the people that I've blocked on Twitter, I find to be, but I have like 60 people blocked on YouTube, because YouTube seems to be where like the 11-year-olds that get beat up a lot, who want to scream at people they'll never meet anonymously, do it. Mm-hmm. YouTube is the worst. And it's hard to block people on YouTube too. You have to go to like Gmail, G Plus or whatever. But the thing that's funny about blocking people on YouTube is it's ghosting. It's what's that called? There's a name for that kind of blocking. It's where they can still post, but nobody can see what they're posting except them. It's a really funny way to block people.
Oh, that's funny. So they don't know they're blocked?
Right. And they just keep posting and nobody responds to them, and then they go away.
That's great.
It's called, there's a name for that. I forget what it is. But and the people that I have blocked on Twitter are like, it's hard to argue with people on Twitter. I mean, people do it, but it's not quite as easy, you know? It's
really hard.
I really hate, you know, who several of the people I've blocked on Twitter are people who won't, when they start to talk to me on Twitter and like, they start instant messaging me, you know, that's fine if they want to, you know, if they want to send me a private message, that's fine. But then they start having a conversation with me and I'm like, I don't want to have a conversation like this. Just email me, because I get an email that I have a private message and I have to go log in. So it's like every back and forth is like twice as much work. So I don't like to do that. So I'm like, here's my email address. Just email me. And if they don't, if they, you know, sometime later, they're like, oh, I will ignore what he said and just write him that way. You know, basically, like, people have to follow my rules of how to talk to me. And people might think, like, that's persnickety or whatever, but it's really about, like, I consider, you know, my own parts on social networks to be private property. So it's basically the same as, like, I would throw a loud drunk out of a party in my living room. You know, I'll block you if you bother me on the social networks. Now, the people I have blocked on email, this is very different than the other one. They are largely people I know very well in person and don't ever want to talk to again. You know, they're usually people from like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, people I played in bands with, chicks that I dated that didn't take I'm done with you for an answer, you know, a polite we're done for an answer that's still mm-hmm. like, and I finally been like, hey, go away, man, you're stalking me. And they're like, but I want to be friends. You know, like the kind of like, yeah, it's a weird kind of stalker, man. The ones that, yeah. that you know in person that are friendly and not scary, but just mm-hmm. you want them to go away. So that's my history of blocking people. We were going to start talking about Bitcoin, but I guess we're talking about blocking people. So let's yeah. you guys chime in. Then we'll talk about Bitcoin. Then we'll come back to this later in the show. I think
I probably I'd have to count, but probably at least 100 people blocked too on Facebook. Not so much on Twitter. I'm not really that active on Twitter, and I usually just ignore DMs there. I just because usually it's just sales. Usually it's just an automatic
or dudes
message.
Or thirsty dudes. Yes,
yeah,
said.
That thirsty guys.
But you got a lot of thirsty like guys that want to get with you. You know, you said that you get a lot of that on when you were on Reason Magazine forums, or was it on comments? Are there forums? Do they even have forums?
It was comments on Facebook, and I stopped going there for that reason. But a lot of it was really creepy stuff. Like it was private messages from married men
from Reason Magazine.
Like, yeah, viewers, from Reason.
Right? You know, that's kind of interesting. Like. I can picture that because I can kind of picture like, I don't know, Beltway libertarians, first of all. When I think of Reason Magazine, I don't really have a terribly high opinion of them. I guess I'm like, well, I'm glad they exist because they bring, you know, they're a stepping stone to real liberty for some people, like the first toe in the water, because they're right. they're all concerned with like who, you know, who the president's going to be. And they back like they back Barry. I think they back Jerry Johnson, whatever.
Yeah, they're all about Gary Johnson right now. They make excuses. It's interesting to watch them.
He's
make
not libertarian.
For him when he flip flops, right? He's not at all.
First of all, he's a politician. Second of all, if you believe in politics, you shouldn't back anybody in this election. There's nobody to back. You should write in yourself, if anything.
Yep.
You know, Gary Johnson's not going to win, and they always have these theories of. I'm not going to get into it. Beltway libertarians are freaking idiots. Okay, so but I can also say I don't know. I can see like. I guess why would like midlife crisis married men who want to hit on people and have an affair, why would they be attracted to Reason Magazine? I can't really place it, but it makes sense to me.
So, I don't know. It's so odd. And then Julie Borowski's page too, like the men there just, I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she handles all the, like the thirsty guys. Cause they love her. Like Julie, you're so cute.
I know how she handles it. She's on the payroll from the Koch brothers. Isn't she?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, if someone paid you a weekly salary to ignore thirsty guys, that was a lot of money. You could probably do it. You know,
yeah, it would take a lot, though, yeah. a lot, because my frustration, like my mental health is worth a lot to me.
Well, you need to block right more people. I've said it to you a lot, but I'm going to say it to you on air, to your face right now as a friend, because, you know, it's like same book, different chapter. Almost every time I talk to you, you're like, ugh, I got an argument. I was really calm and happy today. And then I got in this argument about Neil Diamond with some Republican. And I'm like, I don't get in arguments with people on the internet about, I like Neil Diamond. I don't get an argument. I don't even have any Republicans like left on my friends list. Like those people can't find me.
I don't even know who this guy was. He came out of nowhere.
Anybody who believes in politics isn't my friend.
This guy's made a couple of random comments that don't make any sense on things, and I thought, okay, troll, or maybe he's just socially awkward and doesn't know what to say, and he's trying to, you know, interact. But then he made some really rude comments about Neil Diamond, and I said, you know what? I was in a good mood.
You need to just block people. You need to just block people the minute they irk you. Don't even reply. Here's the thing. You want to win by replying.
Yeah.
The best win is to block them, because then they're like, oh, they blocked me. What up?
Yeah. You know?
Immediately. Sure. Like, don't tell them you're blocking them. They know they're blocked.
I'm sure that guy was like, you know, did I really just get blocked over Neil Diamond over Sweet Caroline? Yeah. Really? So,
that just happened. I want to come back to this later, but I want to talk about real problems that Nick's having, why Nick is sitting by an open window looking out over his property with a rifle in his hand. That's a real thing. We're talking about Nick's ready to shoot something. What's up, Nick?
I have my loaded 22 with me right now.
Nice.
I have my ear to the window waiting for pig squeals, because this morning I had a coyote take off with one of my pigs. I didn't see it happen.
Man.
But I know where the den is, and I don't like to kill babies, so I'm not going to go after them, but I'm going to show them don't touch my pigs.
Yeah, man. Because
they're coming after them. So,
and anybody who says, oh, a 22, that's nothing. You ever been shot by one? I have not, but Ben Stone has, and it's no fun.
Yeah. It's not going to do the same as a 223 would, but it'll do enough.
Yeah. 223 is technically a 22 caliber bullet, but it's a much stronger one. But, I had a coyote in, somebody's echoing. Nick, you are not buffering, and you're staying on solid now that you have a new computer. I'm glad you got a new computer.
That's nice.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I had a coyote try to run off with my cat, Charlie, the cat that I used to have, in LA. And I saw it, and I was out looking for it at dusk. So my cat had gotten outside, and I had a big flashlight, one of those bouncer ones with like 5D batteries in it. And I didn't have a weapon on me other than that. So I screamed at the coyote and, you know, put it down, and threw the flashlight as hard as I could, hit the coyote in the side, dropped the cat and took off running. And I took the cat to the vet, and she lived many more years.
Check that.
10 more years. Yeah. All right. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiend phone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, and now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Cryptocurrency called Bipcoin, not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. We launched it 8 days ago today, and we shuttered the doors on it today. And I want to talk about why that's not a failure. First of all, it's probably, as far as I know, someone's echoing. Whose headphones are echoing? Hello. Hello.
I hope it's
not
there.
Well, you turn it down, it's better now. So It's probably Bitcoin was, as far as I know, the shortest lived cryptocurrency that actually worked. So I worked on this for a couple weeks behind the scenes with Brian Gordon, and then, well, probably about a week, really. I mean, we talked about it for about a week, then we started working on it for a week, and Brian got it up and running really quick. And during that week, Derek Slopey, the guy that made Fiend Phone and does a lot of other cool stuff, and is a good friend of mine, he was at the Jack Fest, so he wasn't able to really help on it. And then he got home and started helping on it, and we released it a week ago. I think it was like Sunday night around midnight, or Saturday around midnight. So a week ago, Sunday, you know, or Saturday. It was like Friday night, Saturday morning. Basically, people woke up to it being real, and people were downloading and mining it, and it had a kind of meteoric rise. Like it really got a lot more attention than I thought it would, and had a lot of people jump on it. And it was a blessing and a curse, because it really had a lot to still work out with it. It was in super beta. It was in version 0.000. It was like 0.0.0.0.1. And actually last night before we shuttered it, today we got two of the wallets up to version 0.0.0.0.3, which
wow.
So you know, there were a few hundred people using it and mining, and you know, I created a good marketing campaign for it, good branding, good website, good tutorials. I did a lot of work on making it usable, and people were really digging it. And the cool thing about it was people were digging it who've never, not only had never mined a cryptocurrency before, had never used one. And there were people like mining and exchanging with it. And the funny thing is cool. Like that's kind of cool and weird, is like, we've shuttered it. We've actually shut down the 4 seed nodes, but it still sort of works, especially if you used it a lot, because that's part of the way that cryptocurrencies work, is that they start with initial seed nodes. That's why they're called seed nodes. But they also, everybody who interacts with each other using them and like trades currency between one wallet to another, it logs the IP address of like the last 100 or whatever people that you exchange with. And if the seed nodes are down, but those people are up, any of them are up, it'll still work. You know, so this will probably work for people who used it a lot and transacted a lot. Your wallets will probably work for, a day or two before they die. Oh, wow. Mine was still working because I probably transacted the most with anybody. Nick's is already not working.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of the beauty of the decentralization of how cryptocurrencies work. And we based this on code called CryptoNote, which is actually like better than Bitcoin in a way, or it solves some of the problems of Bitcoin. And there's one currency called Monero that is really robust, which is made from CryptoNote code. And they've actually recently been adopted on a couple of dark sites, like, you know, Silk Road kind of sites are actually now using them, which is a blessing and a curse. You know, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want that hassle. I mean, I guess that would be the goal. And somebody actually tried to post like links to some dark net sites, some onion links on the Fiend site. And I deleted them, and they're probably going to call me a pussy or whatever. But here's the thing, man, like that, the actual, like the Reddit about that site, not just the site itself, but the Reddit group about it, 4 people from it have been like subpoenaed. Yeah. And one of them like has nothing to do with, you know, is just like a commentator, like not even really trading on that site. So I don't need the hassle. I don't want hassles of things I'm not a part of, you know, like if I get my door kicked in, I want it for something I did or said, not for something you did or said. So, it's my property. I'll say what gets posted on there. So,
yeah, I don't blame you for that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, there was a thread where I posted about like, you know, why we shut this down and why we did it instead of, letting it fade out. And we're going to read some of that replies to that when we get back and talk a little more about Bitcoin. And it was a good run, and I'm glad we shuttered it instead of letting it fade out for a year.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org. Did you get a rifle? You're a big boy now, huh? Did you get for your birthday?
No, actually, this is my grandfather's gun.
Grandpa's guns. That's what Nima and I... You ever see that show, Metal Apocalypse? About the death metal band. It's a cartoon. It's great. Anyway, they're like the blackest, most metal band in the world, and they're like the eighth largest economy in the world. And they there's a scene where they accidentally raise a bridge troll or raise a troll out of a lake that destroys a town in Norway. Yeah, like supernatural things happen every time they play. People die. You have to sign pain waivers and death waivers when you go see the band. So they have to send the troll back into the lake, and there's no more electricity because there's been a blackout because the troll destroyed everything. So they have to play acoustic instruments that the shopkeeper has in the back of his bar. In the back room of his bar, they have like lutes and mandolins and old timey instruments from days of yore. And they're like, what are those wooden things? Chairs? And he's like, acoustic instruments. What is acoustics instruments? You know, grandpa's guitars. And so Nima Vidadi and I always had the term grandpa's guns from that for any gun that, like, you know, has wooden furniture on it. Is this a wooden, does it have a wooden stock on it, Nick?
It does, yeah.
It's that's grandpa's cool. Guns. I have a 22. I mean, I did before I lost in a voting accident. I had a Marlin 60, it's called, which really is like Billy's first rifle. You know, it's like the rifle they get for, you know, kids when they turn, you know, 16 or you know, in Wyoming when they turn 8. But, you know, those places when they turn 15 or something. But, yeah, I'm proud of you, Nick. I hope you get that coyote. You know, in Wyoming, it's a big problem for sheep herders, you know, sheep owners, sheep ranchers, for their lambs, little baby lambs, to get taken away by bald eagles.
No.
And and you can't shoot them because it's a federal crime to shoot them. And although also you'd have to be a pretty good shot to basically skeet shoot with a rifle, you know, to shoot the bird and not hit your lamb. And anyway, the lamb would probably fall to earth and get killed.
Right.
But, you know, people try to shoot him anyway, so they won't come back. Like Nick's trying to teach them a lesson. You have to teach everyone a lesson, every single one a lesson. Like, you know, you could shoot a coyote and that one may not come back, but he's not going to bring the wisdom back to the tribe. Maybe his pups, but not the other coyotes. So you have to shoot a bunch of them.
Make it to the back of the tribe.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah. Now, here's house. Watch this segue. This is going to be cool. So, you know, I could actually really picture people trying to comment or thinking in their head right now, conversations about calibers of rifle. And that's the wrong question about this thing with Nick. You know, really, first of all, it's like, you know, if someone's sitting there going, no, son, what you need is a 223 with a hand loaded 428 grain. No. The fact that he is willing to shoot a coyote with whatever he has, he's better than most people most people would like call animal control these days, or just scream or try to call 911 or something. But put it this way, if you hit a coyote with a 22 at fairly close range, you may not kill it, but it is not going to stay there right at that moment attacking your beast. It's going to run off, or it's going to die, or more likely it's probably going to run off and die. So, so there.
Yeah.
And the thing about the wrong conversation, I ran into this today where I basically posted a, discussed it with Brian, we decided to shut it down. I posted a why we're shutting it down thread or notice
you
on the website.
This with Brian? It sounded like you said disgusted. Yes.
No, I like Brian a lot. No, I love Brian. Good. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. No, he and I had a conversation. It started last night and, you know, he finalized that we, you know, he agreed. He went in the shower and meditated on it, basically, and came out and agreed. So I wrote this post of why we're, you know, probably 200-word post, not terribly long, but not just one line, explaining why I did it that I'm going to have you guys read. And I posted that, like, if you go to the bipcot.org website, well, it's HTTPS because it was secure, unlike a lot of new cryptocurrencies. You don't even bother getting an SSL cert for their site. That's how stupid they are. If you go to the website, it actually treats it like a different website now and goes to that since we shut it down. But if you go to the original website, there's just a black text on a white page posted. It doesn't have the website accessible anymore. And I posted the same thing on the announce thread on Bitcoin Talk, which is where we announced it. And we had like a thread that had like 10,000 views and, you know, 700 replies or something. So, you know, a lot of people were adopting this, but I posted a link to that. I said, we're shutting down Bitcoin, and posted a link on Facebeef. And, you know, a lot of people were like, yeah, you did the right thing. You did this right. Nobody really has given me hell for it. People understand. They said I did the right thing. But there was like a side thread that was just asking the wrong questions, in the same way that a discussion of young Nick defending his property with a 22 against beasts, which is a noble thing, and that's what should be discussed. The wrong discussion would be forking that off into some, I just like the sound of my own voice discussion that people like to have about calibers, the caliber wars. I'll tell you this, the saying I like about calibers is the 22 you carry with you is better than the 45 you leave at home on your dresser. So there, having a gun is far better than having the perfect gun, but not always having it on you. So this thread took a wrong turn. Basically, like, I asked somebody something and they commented something about some other cryptocurrency. And then this guy, John Bush, I blocked John Bush today. That's something to talk about. John Bush is someone a lot of people know, and I can't say anything particularly bad about him. I'm not like, everyone should avoid John Bush. I'm basically, it might've just been, you know, libertarian autism, which is a pretty common thing, or what looks like it. I was having a spirited and emotional discussion with my friends about why we shuttered this project that was dear to my heart. And John Bush said, well, this other cryptocurrency is good. And I just blocked him. It's like, that's the wrong conversation. And like,
right.
Even Ian Freeman came in and this whole like other, you know, libertarian autism. I love Ian. I love him. But he, like, people, you know, people jump into threads and don't read what's above it. They often, right. And I do this, and I got sucked into, I hijacked my own thread with these people. But I blocked John Bush, and here's why. John Bush, this was strike three. So I tried to help John Bush and his wife get on TV. Some producer from, it was some major network. It was like, what's the one that has the prepper show? Do you know that one? It's Nat Geo or something like that. It was either Nat Geo or History Channel. One that was doing like 3 years ago was doing a, or two, a few years ago was doing a, they contacted me and said, you know, we're trying to interview libertarians. We saw your Freedom Fiends show. You know, we want to see if you want to be in this series that we're doing about libertarians who are running their own businesses. And I'm like, I thought about it. I talked with Ben Stone about it and see if he wanted to do it. And we decided we didn't want to be involved in it because often they try to make you look like the crazy redneck with that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But John Bush and his wife, Kat Bush, or Kat Bleeth, whatever her name is, they were trying to pitch a reality show. Like they made a reality show and it looked pretty good, like about off the grid living. Did you guys ever see that?
Oh, I knew I recognized that name.
Yeah. I think he also runs a bookstore in Austin. What's the name of the bookstore?
Oh, anyway. Oh, is it that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they have a few kids? Yeah, okay. I think I know who this is.
Yeah. So I said to this producer, I wrote back to her a day later and said, I'm not really interested, but you should talk to these people. They're already like, they have pilot episodes for what you're looking for. You should talk to them. And got their contact info and gave them phone numbers. And the Bushes never thanked me for that. They never said thank you. Like nothing ever came of it. But if someone went out of their way to do something like that for me, I would absolutely, like, even when they sent me the, hey, I just did this for you, I'd say, hey man, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So that was the last time I talked to John Bush. And then like probably 2 months ago, we were having this conversation about my old band Bomb, for those of you playing the bingo home version of Freedom Fiends. and somebody posted a video of my band Bomb, or like a link to some music of my band Bomb. And people were like, wow, this is really great, blah, blah, blah. And like John Bush, who's never commented on anything I've said, came on there and said, hey, that music's pretty cool, man. I didn't know you were in a band. And I was like, oh, thanks. 35 minutes later, he sent me a private message asking for a big favor.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not how you network, man. That's not how you do it. He asked me to get him a show on GCN. And I was just like, nope, that's not how you do it. But I didn't block him. I was just like, okay, that could be, you know, libertarian autism.
Yeah.
We've all got it sometimes. But then tonight when like I'm, you know, basically like this thread about like the demise of this thing I'd poured my heart and soul into and why I shuttered it. And then his comment was kind of like, if, you know, if I was saying like, I had to put my cat down, you know, she had cancer. And if he'd come on there and said, well, my dog's really cool. His name's Fred, you know, like,
yeah, it's totally not irrelevant and kind of like rubbing it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was also wrong too. Like basically like he was trying to say, well, there's other cryptocurrencies based on Cryptonote that are good. Dash is good. Dash isn't based on Cryptonote. Dash coin is based on Cryptonote. He got it wrong. So, I blocked him. So autism will get you blocked too. So
yeah, I'm getting to that point too with people.
I've got libertarian autism probably. No, I'm not autistic, but I have what I'm calling libertarian autism sometimes. And yeah. I still would block me over it. I'd hit it. I'd block it.
I have both forms of it. So
yeah, I think
I'm doomed.
I think I'm one of like, I think there's like 3 out of 15 fiends are not autistic and I'm one of them. It's a beautiful thing. You know, you know what? You know, Bill Buford is autistic and he's an amazing guy. And he said to me, this makes a lot of sense. Without autism, we wouldn't have the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the people who built it were like math geek computer programmers in the 70s that could just, and like ever since then, they can just sit and focus on one problem forever and not be distracted by shiny things. And they built the internet. So
yeah, that's the thing is the fixation on something, the obsessive going down the rabbit hole and yep.
So when we get back, we'll actually talk about the demise of Bitcoin. We've laid the ground foundation for it.
Yep.
Worms. Shoot the coyote.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Yeah, we're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the radio.
We're too busy talking to talk. Yeah. Campaigns. So, people are probably wondering why we're eulogizing, while we're eulogizing Bitcoin, an ad for Bitcoin played in the segment before last.
Whoops.
Well, here's the thing. Talk radio does not work at the speed of internet. And, you know, I sent a note in to please swap it out for another ad, but I sent that on a Sunday, and you know it'll probably get taken care of during business hours on a Monday, so it probably won't play tomorrow night, but it played tonight. So I really like this eulogy that Paul Gordon wrote for Bitcoin called "The End of BIP." But the libpair dream pushes on. Libpair is the word, the compound word in camel case, capital L-I-B, capital P-A-R, all one word. Camel case. You know, it's got humps. That's what that's called.
Oh, okay.
That's the term.
My head around
that's the term for that, yeah. I put everything in capital case, in camel case. I really like it. It makes sense. And it's what programmers use, you know, in code a lot of times. So, the libertarian paradise dream lives on. So will you guys go ahead and read this, please?
Sure. This is from thestateofwake.com. As some of you know that are in the Freedom Fiends community and some outside of it, a new currency was launched a couple weeks ago called Bitcoin. It was the brainchild of Michael Dean, with Brian Gordon and Derek Slopey working to help fulfill the dream. For those of us in the Fiends community, it's not just good radio, it's a community. We welcomed the creation of a coin that was, in a sense, ours. We all had dreams of what this coin could mean, not just within the community, but beyond it. I was looking forward to building up enough bips to buy an ad on the Freedom Fiend show. I envisioned a network of fiend-friendly websites, podcasts accepting bips as payments for ads, links, promotions. It might have even led to more BIP payable potentials, like folks in the community using BIPs to buy other things from one another, like web design, etc.
Yeah.
But sadly, it all came to an end today with an announcement that Bitcoin was no more. Here is Michael Dean's post on why.
Regarding Bitcoin, shut down everything.
Shut down everything! That's a meme. Shut it all down. You ever seen that meme of shut down? Down everything, and it's always like three vertical, like, you know, part one, part two, part three different pictures of the same picture, like closer and closer and closer, until like the last one's like just the eye of the person saying shut down everything. Yeah. It's a meme from an old video game, but it's taken on a life of its own, so go on.
Oh, well, we're shutting it all down after 8 days of running this. We've determined that we don't have the manpower to make this work. It's been a full-time job for three people who already have full-time jobs. That may upset some people who have spent a little time mining, but I will say this to everyone. Better now than a year from now. Better when there's still not invested, much invested, than to limp along like a lot of cryptos for a year or two and then fade out. We thank everyone who was supportive. Here are our final thoughts. 1. Crypto note type code is likely the future of altcoins, but we're not the ones to do it. 2. If you're going to do this, fork Monero code, not CryptoNote code or Bitcoin code like we did. Monero fixed all the bugs and is the only CryptoNote coin with very active development. Hang out in hashtag BitcoinDevIRC for a few days and see that the only people showing up are the occasional person needing tech support.
That's the Bitcoin's wallet. That's the a lot of like development teams of everything, not just cryptocurrencies, like basically like IRC, you know, Internet Relay Chat, has made a comeback, and it's not only with developers, but it's especially because basically people are sick of, you know, the signal to noise ratio on Facebook, and they want to just talk to their 10 friends, so they make up an IRC, and anybody can do this. So you know, like the Monero has one, and Monero's is hopping. I went in there three times to ask questions, and like, you know, 24/7, any time of day or night, there's people in there who are from the team, because their team's big enough. And you go in the Bitcoin one, and it's like we were in there for 3 days, and nobody, the only person that showed up was a guy looking for tech help also. So we're gonna put a pin in this and bring it back. when we get back from this trip to the free market, where hopefully we will not hear another ad for Pipcoin. But if we do, that's all right. Worms.
Worms.
All right. Cool, man. Thanks, y'all. We'll be back.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah. Who's doing the intro for the second hour?
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Asian Pier, 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, shut down everything. So I looked that up on knowyourmeme.com. It's from, you know, it's one of those memes that you don't have to know the origin of it to think it's funny when you see it. You're like, yes. I remember one time, Nima Vidati and I had some problem with the Freedom Fiend site early on, and we had to shut everything down for like an hour. And somebody heard us talking about it, like made a shut down everything meme with my face on it. And it was, that was my first encounter with it. And I instantly got it, even though I didn't know what it was. But it's actually from an old tiny like 80s video game called Pandemic, I guess, where like, you know, you're the leader of some third world nation and you're trying to stop a pandemic. That's the goal of the game. And there's some point where the benevolent despot that you are of the of the country says, shut down everything. You know, he's talking about the railroads, the planes, like incoming and outgoing people to stop the spread of this. So that's become sort of a meme. It's kind of funny. I like it. I'm making one for the show. So we're talking about this cryptocurrency BIPCOIN that I made with Brian Gordon and Derek Slopey, and it was around for 8 days and we shut it down today. We even made it onto like some, I got a Google alert today for some, there's some like new cryptocurrencies podcast, altcoin podcast. I forget what it's called, but they discussed us on there. Like they didn't realize, they didn't get the memo, or maybe they put this up before today, before we shuttered. But and they were like, you know, hey, this sounds kind of good. Maybe this will take off. You know, maybe this will have some value once it gets on an exchange. But they did say that I was really snitty to people asking for help. I wasn't snitty for people asking for help. I basically put in the, you know, initial posting about like, I'll answer anybody's questions except questions that are already answered on the website on this how-to page. And there was somebody, like somebody had the audacity. I couldn't believe this. Like I, you know, we posted an update yesterday and I said, here's the link. This should solve some of the problems. Please update this. You know, basically what it was too was like we forked broken code. You know, we should have forked Monero. We forked Bitcoin and didn't realize that like Bitcoin was dying at the same time. So really Monero is the only altcoin made from crypto note that has a chance. I'm going to say it right now, and it has a pretty good chance. It's actually been adopted by a couple of dark sites, which is a real mixed bag that I'm kind of glad I didn't have to have my currency live long enough to have that quality problem. Cause that's like, and the people that run Monero too, like, use their real names. Like, you know, their names are known. So, right. You know, I wouldn't want to be in that position, I don't think, mm-hmm. but you know, somebody else can do it. It's something that has to happen, but somebody else can do it. So, you know, we issued this update and like, I said, here's the link for the downloads and it explains how to install it. Some guy replied, so should I just put this in a new folder and bring the stuff in from my old folder? And I said, click on the link. And he said, an answer would be nice.
Oh,
you know, like I'm not going to click on the link. Tell me what's there when I click on the link. Like, tell me. You know, it's kind of like when I used to write books on filmmaking and people would write me and say, I heard you wrote a book about filmmaking. Tell me how to make a film. It's exactly like that, except it's even like, you know, with the book, you have to go buy the book and read a 500 page book. With this, it's click a link and read a 30 page how to do it. And you have to click the link to get the downloads anyway. He's basically saying, Give me a too long, don't read synopsis of a 30 word instruction because I don't want to read it. And I had to spend, you know, yeah. And these people actually had the audacity on this altcoin podcast to criticize me for that, for like, oh, this guy's not very patient. No, I'm extraordinarily patient and spent a lot of time helping noobs who'd never used a cryptocurrency. And that was the thing too, like Paul Gordon and a bunch of other people said, like, they're going to pursue being interested in actually using and mining and, you know, being in the cryptocurrency world now where they never were before. So go ahead and read off where we left off. You were reading mm-hmm. my shutdown notice, right? When we went to the
yes.
break, Lisa? All right,
yeah, I was on section two, right? Yeah. Plus Monero finally actually has some adoption now. Therefore, yeah. they're one of the few, or maybe the only altcoins out of about 1,000 to actually achieve some use in commerce instead of just speculation.
And that's important right there, mm-hmm. too. Like, you know, when people say like, oh, well, Dogecoin is worth blah, 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 blah. Actually, Dogecoin is worth like a tiny fraction of a cent. Monero was worth like $1.50 per coin last week, which is way higher than a lot of cryptocurrencies, because most cryptocurrencies like actually have some valuation, like a market cap of millions of dollars if you count like what one coin is worth and how many there are. But that's because a lot of altcoins make billions of coins, whereas Monero and us, like, you know, we made like we made 18 million. I think they made 21 million would have been the cap, but they actually, their coin was selling 3 weeks ago for $1.50. It's $4.50 now. Like, it tripled in value. Like, if you had invested back when I was saying Monero was good on this show 3 weeks ago, when I was saying people should look into this, I didn't give any advice on buying it, but I said people should check out Monero about 3 weeks ago. And I was mining Monero for a minute. I didn't mine enough to be worth much, but I was just trying it. If people had gone, hey, maybe Michael's right, I'll put a couple hundred bucks into this, they would have tripled their money in that 3 weeks, which is, you know, that's a really, really good return on investment. But, yes. Okay, so go ahead. Please read on with my wonderful words. Thank you.
3, we really were in this to try to do something helpful. If this were any kind of pump and dump like many new coins, we wouldn't have been getting out now.
Yeah.
4, if you invested some time mining and are mad at us, we invested a lot more time. Plus, we spent a bunch of money on support services. We've lost money, not made money. 5, it's been a fun ride, but we're out. Go support Monero. They have the best chance of making this stuff widely accepted. Thank you from the Bitcoin team.
Yeah, man.
Bipcoin.
Yep, Bipcoin.
Yes.
All right. So
anyone who mined.
Go ahead. No.
Yeah. Anyone who mined, I'll send you a Bipcoin sticker if you want while supplies last. I've still got a pile of them. Unless you're one of the people who is very demanding about tech help with this. But that's always the case when releasing software. There are those who think they are owed something. The stickers cost me about 50 cents each, plus postage to mail them out. So they're actually far more valuable than a few hundred coin of most altcoins. But if you think you're owed anything, you didn't read the last part of the BIPCOT no government license. And there's a link there to that.
That was on the download links, plus on the website and in our software.
Yep.
Too long. Don't read. Didn't read. The Bipcot team owes you nothing. Life is about taking chances. You're a big kid. Take responsibility for your life.
Yep. And then Nick, do you want to read the rest of this? I think it's just the actual wording that just summarized, right?
Yeah.
From the license.
It looks like it. Yeah. I am definitely sad to see this experiment end. And this is Paul's words here. I'm definitely sad to see this experiment end, but I will not be joining or supporting anyone who thinks that the Bipcoin team owes them anything. We who embrace true liberty embrace it in part because we are not afraid to fail. We are not afraid to walk to the edge of possibility without a safety net. For my part, this whole experiment taught me a lot about digital currency, and now I am ready to finally enter the Bitcoin universe. That's Bitcoin. The whole mining experiment for me, I got to 100 bips, and I'm very happy about that, taught me a lot about the value of digital currency. Just how and what was learned is a long article in and of itself. So for nothing but the time it took me to set up my wallet and the computer mining while I slept, I finally got that breakthrough understanding of digital currency that made it a lot less intimidating to me. One of the reasons I love the Freedom Fiends radio show is that it is more than just a show. It's comprised of people that I'd want to know, I'd want to be friends with, I'd want to walk in liberty with. And the show does more than put on a show. It experiments with LibPair here and now. Be it the Bipcot NoGov license or Fiend the Homeless, the crew lives liberty and experiments with how to live liberty behind enemy lines within the confines of these coercive enterprises called states. This was one of those experiments. Not all experiments work, but we who pursue true liberty understand fully that we operate on the edge without a safety net, boldly dreaming of a world yet to be seen in human history, a world where you rule yourself, where your associations are of your own choosing. If Michael came out next week with another digital currency to try, you can bet I'll be there with my laptop mine, ready to dive in, come what may, into the edge where liberty is lived out, not just theorized, where we accept life without safety nets, without guarantees. Paul Gordon.
Wow. I like that a lot.
Yeah, excellent. Me too.
Yeah.
Very well said.
And, you know, we actually discussed, we had a discussion about the possibility of starting over and redoing this same name, different blockchain by forking Monero. And we decided against it. And basically because we'd learned enough about what this actually entailed to see that we three didn't have enough free time to do this. Like, really, it would take a team. I think it would take a team of four or five people that had more free time, especially than those two, because those two have, you know, 9-to-5 jobs and families, you know, and I'm married, but don't have kids and don't have a 9-to-5 job. But really, you'd need, like, the Monero team is like 11 or 12 people, I think. And they're in a bunch of different countries, which is useful because, too, like, if there's a problem in the middle of the night, you know, you don't want to have to wake somebody up. Like, you want somebody to really, like, be the team that's going to caress and massage something until it can live on its own. You would have to have people, you'd have to have 24/7 support. And basically, unless you're a corporation with funding or you're the government, you know, stealing money, what that means is having people in different time zones that are awake at different times. And we didn't really have that. We're all, you know, two of us from one time zone and somebody else was 2 hours later. We needed the person who was up in the middle of the other people's night. So we learned a lot. We had some fun. We made some coins, it went away, and there it is. Shortest lived cryptocurrency ever.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms. We'll be right back.
Michael's back with us, but it is me and Lisa. Nick Hazelton, that is. Lisa Del Asho.
Yeah. And we were just... Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
So we were talking about Bitcoin earlier, but... Oh, my God. Yeah. We wanted to switch it up and talk about this article written on daisyluther.com. I'm not familiar with this. Lisa shared this with us earlier, but it's called, "Hey, People, Leave Those Kids Alone, But You Might Get Arrested If You Do." And this is, I haven't read through this all the way, but, you know, this is a classic thing. This happens way too often, that people get in trouble for letting kids walk around. And believe it or not, this is one of the safest.
Yeah.
This is one of the safest times to be a kid. Like, people get scared about, oh, somebody will kidnap my child. But really, based on statistics that I've seen and heard,
they want to shut down everything. Hey, check your email. I got to interject here. Check your email, people. I just finished I want your on air reaction to the image for the show that I made.
The cat.
Okay.
Excuse me.
People just have to wait to see. It's internet on the radio. Yeah. That's all right. Cute. So I'm intrigued to hear more about this. How when I was a kid, like, we used to run around like all day from dawn till past dusk on our bikes when we were like 12 with like 22 rifles. Like, I remember taking my dad's 22 rifle, which I was allowed to do, like strapping it, you know, across my back. Like, I didn't even have a case for it, like tying a bungee to it or something and, like, you know, putting it around my back and going with some other kids to, like, go shoot cans, you know, out across the tracks on the wrong side of town where the hobos lived, you know, like I was like 15 and there were like three of us. There's so much that would be wrong with that today that would get, like, the kids taken away by Child Protective Services to begin with, if not the parents in prison and the kids in a mental hospital until they're 21. So go ahead, Nick.
Okay. Well, it's saying that there's never been a safer time to be a kid in America. And there's also never been a time to be more judged, sometimes criminally, for your decisions as a parent. Most parents love their children and don't want anything to happen to them, but at the same time, we're constantly bombarded by the media about all kinds of horrifying pitfalls and recent stories that would love to have you believe we are all neglectful, stupid, and incompetent. The things most of us did as kids would literally get someone arrested. That's what you're saying, right? It's ridiculous, yeah. And it disappoints me because I don't have the same stories of being a kid as you guys did. Like,
You're kind of doing stuff now that, I mean, when, you know, you're 18 now, but you were what, 14 and a half when I met you?
Something like that.
Yeah, and you were doing, you know, you were living more like I lived when I was a kid than most kids do today.
Yeah, so I had it better, and, you know, my parents let me fail and do stupid things every once in a while, but I was cared for a little bit more. It's just that's how I think millennials have been treated, which is interesting. We can get into that. It's kind of another topic, but that kids don't play outside and don't do stupid things anymore. Now I do because I can. Me and my buddies do occasionally stupid stuff that maybe I shouldn't say that because my parents listen. We can do that. And we can get away with it because we live out in the middle of nowhere. But I look at all these, I hear the stories that Michael tells, and I hear the stories that people tell, just in general, because I listen to a lot of podcasts and listen to a lot of old people talk, right? And they have much better stories than any of us do. And it's kind of disappointing. And I gotta say,
anybody who thinks that Bitcoin is crazy or altcoins are crazy or, like, you know, magical internet money, like I still know people who think it's a Ponzi scheme, but, like, some of these people are the same people that are out chasing imaginary monsters on their cell phones.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. All right, go on. Yeah, I'm sort of paraphrasing someone, but go on.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and we were all over the neighborhood. We were miles away from home. The rule was come home when the streetlights come on. You know, it starts to get dark, come home. We didn't have cell phones. We had no GPS. There was no way for anybody to track us and know where we were 24/7. They just trusted us, and we all looked out for each other. But we used to climb down in the sewer pipes and go down to the... Yeah, we were bad. Not bad, but just, you know.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
It's funny. I dislike ads so much. Not necessarily the ads on this show. The ads on our show are wonderful. You should buy all the products and services advertised on this show. But talk radio ads in general, you know, unless I make them, because I make them different than most people. Most of them make them, like, a really typical example is the one that has a siren, like, to get your attention, like, basically to make your heart jump, like, oh my God, what's wrong? And then they try to sell you something like that. That's kind of the epitome of, you know, FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which is not how my ads work. My ads try to sound soothing and like something you want to be a part of, not like, oh my God, if you don't buy this, you'll die. Which is how a lot of talk radio are, but like, I am so not into ads on talk radio. The sound, the production, like the way they're produced. That's my only problem with them, is the way they're produced, it, to the point where I turned down the feed. And I missed that we were out, and I thought we were still on air, and you guys weren't talking. And I was like, I was almost yelling at you guys, like, well, you better say something. And you're like, what are you talking about? We're out. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, so before we get back to how kids today have it better, I wanted to do a quick, like, MWD colon update. People have been following this for about a year. I've been tapering off of prednisone, which is a life-saving drug. Are you still on it, Lisa?
No, I've been off of it for 2 weeks now.
Good. Yes. How do you feel?
I actually feel pretty good, and the prednisone bloat is gone.
Good. Yay. You didn't get hooked the way I did. Like, your body depends on this stuff to where, like, you will literally die. It's more dangerous to go cold turkey with prednisone than it is with heroin. I've gone cold turkey with heroin, and, you know, that's how I quit the last time. And, it's extraordinarily unpleasant, but unless you're in really bad health to begin with, it won't kill you. You know, it's survivable. Yeah. Thousands or millions of people have kicked opiates, but kicking prednisone can kill you because it'll shut down your adrenal glands. So you have to taper off it. I've been tapering off it for probably about 10 months now. I've gone from 30 milligrams a day to today. I just went down a half milligram. I am at 4 milligrams a day. From 30 milligrams. I know. I know. And it's, you know, I actually talked to somebody recently who said that his wife's been on it since 1978. And she's been on 5 milligrams a day since 1978. But, you know, I didn't really want to ask why. That's the thing about Wyoming. Like, everybody, strangers talk to each other about, you know, like, their health. Like, this guy wasn't really a stranger, but he kind of knew him. But, like, you go into the bank here or the post office and they start talking to you about their colons. It's kind of funny.
But the colons.
I guess that's where I get it, you know. I get it. Yeah. But yeah, like, you know, some people stay on this stuff for life. Probably because, I mean, maybe for some people it's medically indicated to be on it for the rest of your life. But mm-hmm. I think for some people, it's just they don't have the patience to try to get off it to take, you know, they've been on it for years. They don't want to taper off it. Like they don't want to take, it's going to be over a year of tapering by the time I get off this. You know, I mean, I'm going down like a half milligram every 3 weeks now. So, wow. I think a lot of people try to go down off it, like taper down in 5 days. And, you know, I ended up in the hospital last time I tried to do that. So can't be done or shouldn't be done or, you know, that's my recommendation with it. I also have real quick before I turn it back over to you guys and step away for a minute. I have another bingo board, Netflix on the radio. I have a recommendation for a show that's on Netflix. I think there's only one season so far and it's like 6 episodes, but it's great. I've watched 2 episodes of it. It's called The Get Down. Have you guys heard of The Get Down?
I've saw the little ad for it on Netflix the other day, but I haven't watched it yet, but I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of like that 70s show without the humor, the dumb jokes, but better, and everyone's black. It's basically kind of a dramatization and fictionalization of the birth of rap. You know, before there was a word like hip hop, before it was what it is now, when it was literally a guy with 2 turntables and a microphone, or a guy with 2 turntables and another guy with a microphone generally, you know, and it's kind of around like a fictionalization of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, you know, the people that did that song, cool. The Message.
Yeah.
You know, don't push that. Me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. That song?
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks.
I'm not doing it justice, but yeah, it came out with like 13 or something.
Yep.
And 12.
I remember that for the roller skating rink.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was the first like breakout rap hit. It was huge. Yeah, so that show's really cool. And it's got some interesting casting. Like it's got people I recognize from The Wire. It's got people I recognize from Mr. Robot, and it's got, well, there's 2 black guys in Mr. Robot. One's the fat black guy who's evil, who runs something like the Silk Road, which it's not evil, but he's evil because he basically like kidnaps geniuses to be the admins on it and beats them up, has them beat up by his henchmen. And then, and the other guy, the other black guy in Mr. Robot is the good guy, the skinny black guy, who's the hacker who ends up murdered. That guy is one of the dads in this show. And the the best, like, boy, I was hoping that guy would do something cool was God, what's the actor's name? Gina Carlo Esposito. Do you guys know who that is?
The name is familiar.
Are you familiar with a little show called Breaking Bad?
Oh, well, yeah.
He's Chicken Man.
Oh,
he's Gus. He's Gus Fring.
Gus?
Yeah, he's in the show. He plays a really conservative Baptist, I think Baptist preacher who runs like a church with, you know, with all the singing and shouting and stuff. And then like is beating his daughter, you know, behind closed doors for like wearing a dress that's too short. Like, you know, he always plays deeply flawed characters. I've only seen him three or four things. You know, there's Gus Fring, who is like kind of like the weirdest gangster I've ever seen on TV. Like, he was like the Godfather, but even more like above ground. Like he was hanging out. He was a member of like the police athletic league supporter, like donator, you know, like the fun run. Like he was hanging out with the chief of police and like they had no idea, you know, the head of the DEA.
Very clever.
You know, whereas like, the Godfather was like above reproach, but you know, everybody knew he was the Godfather. Nobody knew. You know, Gus was so weird. He was so straight. And I've also seen him play like a voodoo priest who's also like, you know, by night, who's a shop teacher or a shopkeeper by day in some other show. And then something else like that. And yeah, he always plays like really twisted. Not that voodoo's necessarily. Yeah, voodoo's pretty twisted.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stick up really, for any religion anymore, man. I don't know. If you're religious, that's your business. But it's, I don't know.
I want to watch that one. Do you remember what it's called?
No, but there's this little thing called IMDb.
Right, yeah,
Internet
that's what I'll
Movie
look.
Database.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Gina Carlo Esposito, you'll find everything he's been in. All right. I'm going to step away for a few minutes. You guys have fun. Worms, thank you for your service.
Okay, Worms. So, yeah, we were talking about kids not being allowed to be kids anymore because not only do you have police who are watching out and, you know, arresting parents for silly things, but also other parents are policing parents. And so there's this whole thing now with helicopter parenting, which is where parents are very overprotective and overbearing and overcontrolling, you know, and monitoring and planning out every move that their kids make. So, you know, they get home from school and they've got their schedule filled with activities and very little, if any, time for free play and just being themselves and being creative and doing what they want to do. And so that's what a helicopter parent is. And now we have these parents who are, I say, helicopter parenting other parents. So there was a recent case where a woman who was on vacation in Delaware, staying at a beach house with her kids, who were 8 and 9 years old, drove to a restaurant to pick up carryout dinner for them. The restaurant was a couple of miles away. She wasn't gone very long. I think like a half hour is what they said. The kids were fine, but I guess their dogs were barking, so a neighbor went over to kind of see what was going on and saw that these kids were home alone and called the police. So the mother comes home and is arrested for endangering the welfare of the children, even though the kids were fine, because this busybody called the cops. So I don't know. I think, and call me crazy, that it's probably more traumatizing for children to see their mom get arrested for supposedly endangering their lives than it is for them to be alone for half an hour while mom picks up dinner. You know, what do you think, Nick?
I completely agree. I think it's ridiculous. That kid can't be left alone. And it, what really disappoints me is that people are calling the cops about this.
Right.
Like, what is your deal that you have to take it upon yourself to make sure that a kid is accompanied by an adult when they're at home? Like, it's, they're on a vacation home or whatever, but still, you know, they're inside of a house. They're safe. They're completely safe.
With dogs and watching them.
Yeah. Like, come on. Like, keep, stay out of other people's business. Stay out of other people's lives. Yeah, I just don't get it.
That's how I see it too. And I think that if you're worried about the kids, if you're genuinely concerned, then go wait with them until the adult gets back. You know, don't call the police. Maybe go over and say, hey, are you kids okay? You know, oh, where's your mom? You know, do you want me to, are you okay? Do you want me to stay here and wait with you till she gets home? That kind of thing. But like sicking the cops on people, not cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's, like, you got to think, and I like what this article brings up is they talk about this professor of psychology, Peter Gray, and he writes, I don't want to read this whole thing, but I like this second one. I'll read this whole thing here. If we overprotect kids, if we coddle them, and if we don't allow them the freedoms that they need to develop, then they grow up into young adults who are not prepared for the kind of independence that is required of them when they leave home. But if you are being a helicopter parent, if you are providing for your children all the time, if you are there every day or, you know, every hour of their life, making sure that they are, one, entertained and whatever, making sure that you are fulfilling their needs every step of the way, right? They're not going to be able to do that themselves because eventually they do have to go out on their own and learn how to fulfill those needs on their own. And most kids will look for this independence is what I see. And I see that as very positive. I mean, we'll bring that up in the third segment for a little bit of redemption.
Perfect.
We'll be back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Started. We just came in. I don't even know.
I don't even know anymore. I'm wearing Freedom in case anybody missed that.
Good. In case any thirsty guys want to know. Did you make that up? I've heard hungry in that, but I like thirsty. Did you make that up?
I didn't make it up, no. Yeah, I heard it somewhere on the interwebs.
It's a good one. Yeah. I'll say this.
Truth.
Speaking of thirsty. The one thing I didn't do with Bitcoin that's good is I did not fundraise and then do it. I just did it. At one point I said if someone wants to chip in and help out, because there was somebody who was like making services for it, and I sent donations to him, like $120, 20 of mine, 100 in donations that I got after the thing was launched. And I told the guy to keep it too. I didn't say, hey, give it back. You know, I said, hey, it's a donation, keep it. But there's actually one other sort of cryptocurrency that came out of Liberty, that came out of like the libertarian movement. And it was money, fundraising was done for it. And it wasn't really a cryptocurrency. It wasn't like you could mine it like this. Mm-hmm. It was one of those like DOAs, decentralized, what's the term, you know, what all the kids are doing, decentralized, autonomous, contracts, DOs, I don't know what it's called, but
yeah, I don't know.
Those things where like, you know, you set up some things and they self-execute. It was one of those off something else called Counterparty. So it wasn't really its own. It was Tatiana Coin, and she's a good person. I don't have any problem with her, but I did it differently than her. She raised money for it. She created something that a lot of people flocked to because she's a hot chick. A lot of thirsty guys flocked to her. And it went on for, I don't know, 6 months or a year, and then just like fizzled out and died. Whereas like, you know, we had kind of a meteoric rise. We saw where it was going to be a problem to keep it going where it needed to go. And we killed it on the way up instead of like letting it wither on the way down like most people do. With altcoins, alternative currencies. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I don't need no thirsty guys. I need guys thirsty for freedom and gals.
Yes, we do need more of that.
What are you wearing, Lisa? That's what they say. Freedom. What do you say?
Yeah.
Freedom. Yeah, that's the answer. Yep. Freedom.
Or I'll say something really, really, really unappealing.
I think next time a guy says, what are you wearing? You should say freedom and then block him.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. Yeah. Thankfully, I don't get many questions like that. It's usually much weirder.
Like help me leave my wife and run off to Nicaragua with you or something like that?
Yeah.
Is that what the thirsty really guys say to you? What sort do they say?
Usually it's things like that. It's been a while because I've kind of distanced myself from their little hangouts, you know, where they lurk online.
Reason Magazine.
Yeah, and, you know, a couple other pages.
Where guys have their... Reason Magazine, the magazine for men going through a midlife crisis. That should be their
motto. It really is like that. It's so strange. Like, where do these creepers come from? I'm not going to comment. I still read their articles, but I don't comment there anymore.
They occasionally have good articles. They occasionally, like... Mm-hmm. I don't know if they ever break news, but they're often the first people I see it from. Because they have people... whose job it is to troll the deep, dark recesses of the internet. which I don't have time to do. So they do provide a service, especially with tyrannies. You know, they will, if you're into that, if you're into fear, uncertainty, and doubt, or FUD, as it's known, FUD, reason is a good place to hang out. But, you know, I mean, they're heavily funded by the Koch brothers. What are they called? How do you say it? K-O-C-H.
I don't even know anymore.
Koch.
I thought it was Koch, but I don't know.
Koch? It's Koch brothers. Yeah, they're heavily funded.
Because people
by
joke
Koch
that
brothers.
We're funded by them, and I'm like, yeah, they're late on my paycheck this month.
Yeah, I say that too. People say that about the Freedom Fiends. Do people say that about the Fiends? I've heard about
me. You know,
me.
I think they have, I mean, they've definitely said it about me, period.
There's a
I'm a shill.
On Amazon.com, on the page for my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, it came out. Like, it was kind of founded hand in hand with this show. Nima Vidadi and I were working on that movie, and then we decided to do a podcast, and then it turned into an actual radio show, and then he retired. He's kind of out of retirement. He comes on about every 6 months and does a show on here. It's cool. But there's one of the first reviews on there is like, you know, somebody who, I think they rented it. Like, you know, Amazon, you can rent watching a video for one night for like $1.99 or something for people that don't know how to use the torrents. And I think somebody rented it and watched it, and they were like, you know, nice job, Koch brothers, with your propaganda piece. And I'm like, No. If the Koch brothers had funded this, it would have much higher production values, and it wouldn't be as radical. You know,
they're kind of true.
They're Beltway libertarians.
You know? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's some.